Here's Dr. Don Wilton.
I want to just say this to you. I do love the church. I love the church. I certainly love my church. There are lots of churches. Churches of every shape and every size. In America today, you find churches everywhere. We have different names, different titles, and some organized this way and some organized that way. But the church that is built on the Lord Jesus Christ is a very special place. The Encouraging
Word. We are excited to welcome you into The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton today. Here on the Tuesday edition, we continue in the concept of being complete and courageous in Christ. But Dr. Wilton's message is called A Picture of the Church, a snapshot, so to speak, of how we can gain insight and growth in our faith. As a matter of fact, in just a moment, we're going to be reminded that our words matter. What you speak into your life, what is spoken into your life, is very important. So we're going to say some words together, some affirmations in just a moment with Dr. Wilton. But you need to know we're here to affirm you directly. 866-899-WORD will connect you with us, not just now, but 24 hours a day. Here's the number again, 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Let's pray together. Father, what a great day to be together, to gather, to be part of your church. This is just fantastic. We're so grateful to you that we can do this. We're so grateful for this moment in time, so grateful for one another, so grateful, Lord, for the body of Christ, for friends, for the things that we do together, for the places that we go. We're just so grateful that we can be complete and courageous in you. This is a grand celebration today. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you know, the last several weeks, we've been saying our affirmation together. And we've been repeating this together. So I'm going to ask them to put this up on the screen here, because this is about being complete and courageous. About being complete and courageous. I'm going to ask you to memorize this. Now, I'm going to be ridiculous. I'm really going to be ridiculous. I've already told you, when I was laid aside with that stomach surgery, one of the things Karen and I did was watch a movie called Tortured for Christ, Pastor Richard Virenbrand. We're talking about in the 40s, 50s, 60s in Romania. Loved the Lord, ended up in prison, being tortured for Christ. I tell you, he knew exactly who he was. He and his wife, Miss Sabrina. This, God put in my heart. This is me. This is you. You ready to say this out loud with me? Let's do it. I am saved by his grace. I am instructed by his word. I am equipped by his church. I'm empowered by his spirit. I am sent by his great commission. I am complete and courageous in him. Now open your Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 2. The book of Acts and chapter 2. You must see this. You must see this. And I am praying that you will hear this today. Because I'm going to show you something that the Bible tells us about ourselves, about our church. So now that you've all found that place, Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to begin at verse 42 in just a moment, I want to just say this to you. I do love the church. I love the church. I certainly love my church. There are lots of churches, churches of every shape and every size. In America today, you find churches everywhere. We have different names, different titles, and some organized this way and some organized that way. But the church that is built on the Lord Jesus Christ is a very special place. It's a beautiful place. You know, it's part, a very important part of what Jesus has given to all who believe in him. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. I love the second part of that. And the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Now, I'm not preaching on that passage, but those words that Jesus was saying were very important for us. I want to urge you today to think very carefully. Our completeness, our courage, is bound into the totality of God's plan for you and for me. Maybe you're a father or a mother today and you're wondering about being part of a church like this. I urge you, do it. Do it. There are a lot of wonderful things. Karen and I, on Friday, met with our oldest son, Rob, in Colombia because he's in a conference. So we drove down there and met him very briefly because he lives in Pittsburgh, but he was in Colombia. I mean, that's just an hour and a half between friends. And, you know, of course, my two sons, Rob and Greg, both played for the Dorman Cavaliers and brings back so many memories to us. And I love that. I love the thought of life. But the church is absolutely indispensable in life. This body, your church, I'm going to show you why. Because it's amazing to me that here in the early church, and the Spirit of God came down upon these believers, instantly church began. Let me read this to you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they, that's the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and of fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came on them. That little word, wonder, amazement, a reverential fear came on them, on every one of them, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, to the point at which they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as people had need. And day by day, they attended the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and with generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. May the Lord write this beautiful passage in our hearts. I cannot make you love your church. But God can show you something, perhaps today, that will cause you to take a very deep look inside your own heart in relation to your church and how you fit in. It's amazing to me that this passage here begins with a beautiful statement. They devoted themselves. That little word, devotion, is a wonderful word. It's a word for which we strive. It's a spiritual word, but it carries a lot of meaning in life. There's nothing quite like being around people who are just devoted. Just devoted. I watch this choir and this orchestra and this praise team, and the word that comes to my mind is devotion. They're just devoted. They lead us in worship week by week by week. I think of our mission impact team. I think of our children's ministries, senior adults, our students. I think of people, our life group leaders. You folks are so devoted. You don't have to be, but you are. We can't make you. It's a spiritual thing. This issue of spiritual devotion, it's a beautiful spiritual virtue, isn't it? I would pray in my own life that I would become marked by increasing devotion. The higher the level of spiritual devotion, the more determination you will have to align yourself with what God is saying to you. The lower your level of devotion, the less it will be of concern to you, down to some of the very basic things, like just attending church. That's a very basic level. If you're not devoted to the Lord, why come to church if it's not convenient? Why teach that group every week? They were devoted. They devoted themselves. The Spirit of God had come upon them, and they devoted themselves. To what? So now I want us to focus on this, because this is a picture of the church. Number one, they devoted themselves to teaching. Could we spend a lot of time on this subject, this whole issue of teaching and learning? Actually, what is happening right now is exactly that. This is teaching. It's what happens in your life group, that discipleship group, that small group that you discipline yourself to be a part of. The fact that you're willing to drive 10 miles on a Sunday just to be in church speaks to your devotion to teaching. You value that. It's very important, both on those who teach and those who learn, because teachers are primarily learners who speak. So I can't tell you the number of times I have over the last number of weeks pored over this passage constantly because of this issue of teaching. It is that they devoted themselves to teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. I love that in the second part of verse 42. And by the way, that word fellowship there, it literally means like-minded people gathering together in a like-minded way. Fellowship. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to be perfectly up with you today. Isn't the fellowship of the local church just very special? So when you become part of your church, it is a very spiritual thing that you are entering into a zone of friendship, camaraderie, laughter, joy, great meals, trips, missions. It's the fellowship of God's people. They devoted themselves. One of the ways that I know that I'm a believer, not because I'm the pastor, I gravitate toward Christian fellowship. So now, please understand what I'm saying. I feel very uncomfortable when I'm in groups of people who do not believe the Lord and who do not follow Him and who do not hold to the moral standards that God's Word instructs me in, not as a holier than thou, but the Spirit in me kicks against. I've often told people and let it be known, I'll walk into a pub anytime. I feel, because I want to be among people anywhere, but I feel very uncomfortable in some settings. I'm just uncomfortable. It's awkward. I feel like I'm a stranger, but not in here, not when I'm with those that I'm able to fellowship. There was a devotion, a spiritual gravitation that took place. It's a spiritual virtue. They were devoted to teaching, to fellowship. They were devoted to remembering, the Bible says. Remembering says here very clearly, the breaking of bread. They were devoted to remembering the bread and the cup. If you wanted to put a direct interpretation on it, they were devoted to everything about Jesus. They were willing, their devotion was primarily centered in the person and work of Jesus. That's why today, I am inviting you to give your heart to Jesus. It's about Jesus. He's the center. They were devoted to that. They were devoted to anticipating. I love this. The Bible says that they were a people that were awe-inspired. And that little word awe, A-W-E, I cannot say that word in Southern. I've tried many times. It doesn't sound right. It's awe. A-W-E. You get it, don't you? That little word there means they were filled with spiritual anticipation. It's an expectation. Because believers who gather together in the church, devoting themselves to teaching and to the fun and fellowship and interactiveness of fellow believers, being mutually built up in Christ, remembering who Jesus is, focusing on Jesus, have all the ingredients necessary to anticipate miracles. And a miracle is something that only God can do. That's what happens in the gathering. It's a gathering of signs and wonders in the name of Jesus and miracles. The impossible happens because you're worshiping our God who makes everything possible, who transcends every human limitation. Are you looking for healing right now? I'm in awe for you. I anticipate your healing because I know who heals. This little word awe there is such an inspirational term. And it's all about the church. It's what happens when people gather. They were so devoted, the Spirit of God rose up within them. And they devoted themselves. It was just a spiritual compulsion. You didn't have to ask them to do it. They were just driven. They were just driven along, compelled. This spiritual compulsion to be part of the church. Because in that context, they were devoting themselves to teaching and learning, growing. That speaks of growth and to fellowshipping, meeting people who mean something. Being amongst sinners saved by the grace of God, who really understand what it means to be forgiven of sin, who really strive to forgive others. We get it. Who really believe that all people are equal in the eyes of God. They devoted themselves to Jesus. They devoted themselves to anticipation. They devoted themselves as a result of that to giving. You know, I love that in verse 44 and verse 45. All who believed were together. Their giving was the product of their devotion to Christ in fellowship with one another, serving the risen Savior, seeing what He does. They couldn't help themselves. So they all went out and all got something for breakfast and all brought it together and distributed as everyone has need. Any further questions? That's the church. That's the church on mission. Part of our affirmation is I am sent by His great commission. I think I used the word with Dr. Wise just a minute ago. I said something like this. I said, He helps us with a massive team of people to take what we know to be true inside, outside. Isn't that great? My Monday looks like Monday looks because of what I know to be true on Sunday and on every occasion that I meet with the Lord and His people. They banded together. It's one of the things that I love about the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention. Lottie Moon, the concept here is that not just one church, but thousands of churches, each doing according to that church. Some, we've got churches, folks, that have 20 members. We've got churches that have 50,000 members. It's not about an amount, it's about a principle. And when we all come together, if I was to go to one person here today, I was to pick on one person, if I'd go to my good friend Matt Kuhn and say to him, Matt, we got a need here in town. Could you possibly help? And Matt was able to give $10 to help, because that's what he would do. That $10 is very precious, folks. But what if we all did that together? How much more could we do? There's your global missions offering. That's giving to missions. That's giving to your church. That's God's idea. They all came together. They learned together. They fellowshiped together. They remembered together. They were all inspired. They were all anticipating together. They gave together. They repeated together. They were devoted to repeating. You know, the Bible says here in verse 46, day by day they did this. This is marketplace. This is not restricted just to one day. Yes, this is the primary gathering. You know, when you and I use the word church in America and in most of the Western world, that does mean Sundays are very special days. It's the first day of the week. God gave us that. But every day is God's day. This is marketplace church, day by day. And what happened is they, because of their devotion, this translated into their medical clinic, into their engineering office, into their principal's office. It translated into their homes. What happened in here was taken out there. They devoted themselves to praising. I love what we read about in verse 47, praising God and having favor. You know, that's a very interesting word there, praising God and having favor with all the people. The guarantee of a united church is a church that spends her time offering it all to the praising God. It results in favor among all the people. That's how that happens, which means these are biblical principles that are worth guarding, upholding, teaching, praising God as we come to worship in the daily activity, understanding that nobody in the church is ever perfect. Nobody ever has a corner on the market, so to speak. Nobody ever does it exactly right. And that all of God's people are deeply valued. There are biblical principles related to what God tells us concerning His church. And in the final analysis, they devoted themselves to celebrating. Well, what happened? The Bible says the Lord added to their number those that were being saved. It's happening. This morning we celebrated. What a beautiful baptismal celebration this morning with a precious young lady. As Greg Springsteen took her into the waters of baptism and began to share with us the joy of her salvation in Christ. What a celebration of God's people. Steve Wise stood here a minute ago and spoke about all the people that have come to know Christ and families that are growing and being enriched. Lives that are being changed. They devoted themselves to celebrating. That little word there, that biblical word to celebrate as believers, mean giving God thanks and experiencing such joy over that person that is healed of their sickness and that marriage that is reconciled and that young person that is so blessed and families that can be together and the things that really matter in life, that things that go on in here that are translated out there. Oh yeah, I'm saved by His grace. I'm instructed by His word. I'm equipped by His church. I'm empowered by His Spirit. I'm sent by His great commission. I am complete and courageous in Him. This picture of the church is a beautiful church. I thank God for you. I thank God for churches where people meet. People say, you know what, we might have a, a different title. We might do this a little differently that way, and we might see this scripture verse a little this way or that way. But boy, there are seven biblical principles of the church. If we were nothing else other than teaching, fellowshipping, remembering, anticipating, giving, repeating, praising, and celebrating, if we did nothing other than that, we would be right in line with the picture God has given of His church. And the church is us. It's we, God's people, all of us. What a place to be. What a plan from God. What a celebration.
Indeed, what a celebration of what God's doing in your life right now. If there's something going on that we can pray with you about, please know that we're here for you. We believe that as Dr. Don has been preaching and developing this message on what it is to be a picture of the church, that we've all been hearing, not just from Dr. Don, but from the Holy Spirit Himself. And if the Lord has convicted you about a change, a course correction, boy, let us pray you through. We're connecting right now on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to pray with you and for you, connect you with some great resources as well. But before we get away, here's a closing thought from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Across America, there are different views on when life begins and when it should end. What do you believe? What does the Bible say? When does life really begin? Join Dr. Wilton as he teaches biblical truths with compassion straight from God's Word in his classic and timely message, The Sanctity of Human Life. Plus, you will receive two bonus gifts, Why Pro-Life and Counterculture in a World of Abortion. These powerful ministry resources will help equip you with the facts to see life through the lens of God's Word. Request The Sanctity of Human Life, a classic and timely message on CD, and the bonus gifts for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304. Or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support as we continue to proclaim God's truth around the world.
What a great day of Bible study we've had together today. Let's do it again. Same time tomorrow. Dr. Wilton's message is a picture of a changed life as we continue in the Complete and Courageous series right here on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.